Chapter 3. There was the sensation of being trapped in a sort of bubble as the knot liquid of the knot mirror clung to me but didn't stick, like how oil and water don't mix. I felt cool all over, and I wondered what would happen if I opened my mouth. Would the substance flow in, or would the bubble's surface tension hold over the gap? It was over before I found out. I staggered forward and only realized there had been a total absence of sound inside the mirror after sound had returned, and my knees collided with a hardwood floor. I shoved out my hands to catch myself, and then I looked up to see my sister as she peered down at me. She was safe, as Kyla had promised, yet I still couldn't help but stare. She looked so normal, so familiar, unlike everything else that had happened tonight.
How are you doing there, Pip?
I scowled at the nickname, but since I'd called her Monkey earlier, it was only fair. I'd restarted the game. I started, but then stopped and frowned. Yeah, I don't think I want to do that again.
You get used to it,
Kyla said from behind me, and I turned to see her emerge from the rippling mirror with considerably more grace than I had. Then again, she'd no doubt had a lot more practice. I then looked up to take in the room we were all standing in, and I couldn't help as my mouth dropped open. The room, no hall, really, we were standing in was huge, enormous. Cavernous ceilings swept up into massive domes, and great pillars of stone lined the edges to support them. Off to my left was a sweeping staircase, taller than most houses I'd seen, and the steps got wider and wider as they went down, as if they had spilled out onto the smooth stone floor. And carved at the base of those steps, inlaid with white marble, were the words Audacia pro muro et scuto opus.
Boldness is our wall and action is our shield,
Kyla translated when she saw where I was looking.
The Order of the Eye favors quick action against danger.
The Order of the Eye? What half-baked YA novel did you pull that out of?
Carmen! I groaned, and she just shrugged and looked around the room.
I gotta admit, this is a pretty nice place. Stuffy Latin motto notwithstanding.
My sister added, and I put a hand to my face. Ignore her. I groaned, though I had to admit she maybe had a point with the Latin. I half expected some elderly man with a British accent to pop up and give me a history lesson. I know I do. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm heading to the infirmary, Keegan told us, and I looked over to see him leaning against one of the stone pillars with his hands pressed to his side again. He looked even worse than he had a few minutes ago, probably because of whatever magic he'd wrought to turn the mirror into a doorway. That thought snagged in my brain. Magic. Real, actual magic. I'd just walked through a goddamn mirror. It was all so crazy it almost looped back around to unsurprising. Or maybe I was still in some kind of shock, and I'd wake up tomorrow, scream for 10 minutes without pause, and then be completely fine. Hey, I'll help you, I told Keegan, because he was looking more unsteady by the second. He stared at me like he wanted to protest, but the pain and exhaustion obviously won out, because he let me sling one of his arms around my shoulders. My jacket sleeve was already stained anyway.
This way,
Kyla said, and set off down a hallway, and Keegan, Carmen, and I followed behind her. We walked slowly, but even then Keegan's breathing was labored and harsh. The hallway was decorated with gleaming weapons and enormous paintings. And even though I'd never had anything close to a formal education in art or history, I could tell they were from all sorts of eras. And the paintings all shared one underlying theme, too. They were of monsters. Demons, and ghosts, and werewolves, and vampires. They danced around in celebration, or preyed on human victims, or warred amongst themselves. Or protected scared and cowering children from bigger threats. Some of the paintings were as large as the size of a house. Meanwhile, others were only a little larger than a sheet of paper. But underneath each one was a little plaque. Philip B. James, Werewolf, Dance of the Unsealing, 1794. Elizabeth Shade, Vampire, Moonlit Defender, 1631. Isabella Rivera, Seer, Forest at Midnight, 1962. I stopped at that last one, suddenly enough that Keegan groaned and shot me a glare, but I wasn't really paying attention to him. "Hey, Carmen," I said, and when my sister looked at me, I nodded to the plaque. "Mom said she named you for our grandma, right?" Carmen stared at the little plaque, and her fingers slowly reached out, almost hesitantly, to brush over the engraved brass. My sister, Carmen Isabella Rivera, had been named for our paternal grandmother, a woman who died only a few months before we'd been born. A woman who'd been an avid painter.
1962.
Carmen murmured as she read off the year, and she tore her gaze from the plaque in the painting to look at me.
She would have been young then, right?
Not that young, if she already had Abuelo's last name. The Campbells both watched us with curious expressions. Kyla had twisted a blonde curl around her finger again, and I was becoming more and more convinced it was a nervous tic. Well, then again, her brother had been stabbed and was in need of urgent medical care. And meanwhile, Carmen and I were being distracted by paintings. Where's the infirmary? I asked as I adjusted my grip on Keegan, and I heard him give an appreciative huff, and shot him a grin. Come on, big guy. The infirmary was as large and as impressive as the entrance hall and the corridor. It was a long room with white-painted walls and two rows of hospital beds with screens on wheels to provide a vague sense of privacy. And at the far end were several cupboards and fridges, as well as what I could only describe as a kitchen island, no doubt filled with medical supplies. When we walked in, the infirmary was empty, except for one guy fussing around with the cupboards at the far end. But he looked up when he heard us and balked when he saw Keegan.
Well, you look like shit, he said to Keegan. What happened?
What do you think happened? I got fucking stabbed.
I saw the guy's eyes drift over first to me, then to Carmen, and his brow furrowed, and I could see him about to ask who we were before Keegan beat him to it.
This is Leo and Carmen.
Nice to meet you,
the guy said before he turned away from us and headed back toward the medical supplies.
Dump him on one of the beds. I'll get the stuff.
I didn't dump Keegan on one of the beds so much as set him down gently, because I was still acutely aware that he was probably bleeding internally. Sure enough, the moment he was settled, he looked like he was ready to pass out. I didn't envy him.
By the way,
Kyla said to me as she took Keegan's hand.
Thank you. Both of you for your help.
Well, you don't have to thank us. We're not assholes. You were in trouble and we were able to help.
Still, I appreciate it.
Kyla said as she turned to look at me and nodded at my arm.
And you should get that looked at.
Honestly, I'd almost completely forgotten how I'd hurt my arm in the fight in the alleyway. Between Keegan being stabbed, traveling through mirrors, and being told magic was real, it had slipped pretty far down on my priority list. But it wasn't a good idea to go around with an open wound, so I slid off my jacket and turned to the healer guy who was walking back to the bed with his arms full of medical supplies.
That doesn't look too deep. Should just need to be sterilized, then Sami can heal it.
Sami? I repeated. He'd dragged out the A sound so it was like all instead of happy. The Sami were an indigenous people in Scandinavia. I was pretty sure. But somehow I suspected he wasn't referring to them.
Sami?
Kyla echoed me a moment later and frowned a little.
Why is she on healing duty?
No one else,
the guy answered with a shrug, and I watched as he eased Keegan's jacket off and examined the burn scar left by Kyla's magic.
Well, this'll need to be opened up, obviously, but it at least slowed the bleeding. Still, the next few days aren't gonna be fun.
Will he need a blood transfusion?
Doubt it,
the guy replied, and he filled a syringe with clear liquid from a vial and flicked it a few times to get the air bubbles to rise to the top before squeezing him out. Then he looked down at Keegan.
Any last words?
Your bedside manner is shitty,
Keegan answered. The guy just grinned at him and then stuck the syringe into Keegan's bicep. Within a minute, the blonde was unconscious on the bed, and his hand had gone limp in Kyla's grasp. I couldn't help but think that this was all very casual.
too casual, honestly. I'd not been involved on the medical side of things when I'd served, but this still seemed almost uncomfortably nonchalant. Kyla seemed to notice my concern, and she shot me a smile.
Believe it or not, we get a lot of stuff like this. Healing magic doesn't work on Keegan and me the way it works on most people, so we need more manual medical care before we can be fixed up with magic.
Wait. Hang on. I said, and pointed to the gash on my arm. When he said Sami would fix me up, he meant with healing magic?
After we sterilize it, but yes.
Kyla nodded, and then gestured to the counter at the far end of the room.
Shall we?
I glanced back at Carmen, who shrugged, as if to say, I'll follow your lead. Then Kyla led us to the back of the infirmary and pulled a bottle of hydrogen peroxide and some gauze from the cupboards. And I couldn't stop the hiss that forced itself between my teeth when she pressed it to my arm. No matter how many times I got lacerated or shot or punched, I still hated the cold burn of peroxide in an open wound.
Baby.
Carmen scoffed and folded her arms. Bitch, I replied, and she grinned at me. I then looked at Kyla, whose attention was still focused on my arm, but the sight of the burn on Keegan's side was still nagging at me. So can you do mirror travel magic too?
Oh, no.
Kyla replied, and she glanced up at me for just a moment before she turned her attention back to my arm.
In theory, anyone can do any kind of magic, but trying a kind of magic you're not naturally suited to is, well, difficult. Everyone has a natural affinity.
So what's yours?
Light magic.
She answered as she gave me a coy, almost conspiratorial smile, and her green eyes seemed to glitter as she said it.
And illusions, to a lesser extent. A lot of my glamours make me appear invisible. I'm bending light around myself so the human eye doesn't perceive me, though I can only make myself and one other person invisible for longer than a few minutes. Any more people, and it's a bit complicated to keep up.
Oh, so is light magic how you cauterize
Keegan's womb? Better question! If Leo and I are seers, does that mean we can do magic too? It does.
Kyla told her. And my sister looked like she wanted to start jumping up and down on the spot. Hey, one thing at a time, monkey. I said before she could rattle off a list of questions to Kyla that would probably keep us all here until daybreak. Then I looked back at the blonde. And so this Renee person, I want some answers about why we don't know anything about this world we're supposed to be a part of.
Good point.
Carmen said and wagged a finger at me.
Magic lessons can wait. I want context.
Kyla nodded as she finished wiping the blood and peroxide off my arm and threw away the soiled gauze.
Jasper?
She called out as she placed a clean bandage over my cut.
Where's Renee?
In her office, I'd imagine. The guy who was stitching up an unconscious Keegan replied. She's been working late nights a lot recently.
That's good for us, but not so good for her.
Can you take us to her? I asked, and Kyla cast a nervous glance over to her brother. Well, I knew that look. It was the same look Carmen had given me when I'd gotten on the plane a year ago to begin my tour.
I can take you to her, but, I might not, stick around.
Hey, I said, gently, to catch her attention, and slowly she turned back to look at me. I get it. You'll get no judgment from us. If there was someone else here, I'd ask them to take us so you wouldn't have to leave them, but, there isn't. Aside from Jasper, who was actively operating on Keegan as we spoke.
Right.
Kyla nodded, and she raised a hand to her face to wipe away a tear with her thumb before it could spill over.
Yeah, I'll take you to Renee.
Then she tipped up her chin and cleared her throat before she stood up from her seat and gestured for us to follow her. We walked down another hallway, bedecked with weapons and paintings of magical creatures, but none of the plaques I glanced at had familiar names this time. Still, I wanted to know how my grandmother, or at the very least how a woman with the same name and hobby as my grandmother, had come to have a painting in a building that housed humans who could do magic. I still couldn't quite wrap my head around the fact magic was real, and as we walked, I kept pinching myself, or prodding the now bandaged cut on my arm. Each small throb of pain was a reminder of how I was awake, that this was really happening. The fact Carmen was here with me helped a bit, too,
If I'd been on my own, I might have wondered if I was going crazy. If I was experiencing some extremely vivid hallucination or delusion that would end with me convinced I could fly and trying to throw myself off a tall building. But instead, she was here with me, and she was just as fascinated and as confused as I was. I didn't think I'd ever been more thankful to have her with me than I was right then. No matter what, I knew I could rely on my sister. Kyla stopped when we came to a large pair of dark wooden doors. They were carved with an intricate overlapping pattern that kind of looked like vines at one moment and like tendrils of smoke at another, as if the wood itself was somehow shifting and morphing right in front of my eyes. Inlaid in the center, in the same white stone as the words at the bottom of the staircase, was a simple design of an eye. I half expected it to move and look right at me, to judge me as worthy before I was permitted to enter. I glanced at my sister to see she, too, was staring at the white stone eye with more than a little apprehension. But when she noticed me watching her, she turned away and fixed me with a determined look. I nodded and then turned to Kyla, who had been watching the pair of us in silence. At my look, she raised a hand and knocked on the door once. The sound echoed in the cavernous hallway, and a moment later there was a clunk as some mechanism sparked into motion and allowed the two doors to open inwards. Kyla stepped aside and jerked her head in a prompt for us to walk in. So I stepped forward, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw Carmen fall into step a little behind me as she let me take the lead. The room was smaller than I'd expected, and for that it seemed even taller, though the ceiling was probably the same height as the rest of this peculiar building. The space was circular, with bookshelves carved to fit to the curving walls, but they stopped at about 7 feet high. All of the wall space beyond that height was taken up by enormous stained glass windows, except for the wall above the doors we'd entered through. Instead of windows, there was a massive painting of a man with a sword in one hand and a glowing orb, and perhaps a bit of magic in the other.
Aurelius Beckett,
came a voice, and I turned to see that opposite the huge doors was a desk, and behind the desk stood a severe-looking woman with dark skin and gray-streaked hair pulled into an unforgiving knot behind her head.
Our founder. Renee,
Kyla said from behind me.
This is Leo and Carmen Rivera. They're seers.
The woman Renee looked at us both, and she raised one dark eyebrow.
Are you here because you wish to join our order?
No, I replied. I wasn't even sure what this order even really did. My sister and I, I guess we're seers, but we don't know anything about the magical world. Renee frowned at us and then at Kyla. She moved one hand from where they were both clasped behind her back and waved it, and the doors closed, seemingly of their own accord. Kyla stepped back as they closed, outside the confines of the room, which meant we were left alone with Renee and all our questions.
When you say you don't know anything, what exactly do you mean by that?
Renee asked me as she sat down and rested her elbows on the desk with her fingers steepled. A moment later she waved a hand again, not to perform some kind of spell, but to invite Carmen and I to sit. We sat. We don't know anything. Until we ran into Kyla and Keegan, about an hour ago? We had no idea what seers were, or aura, or that magic was real. A furrow had appeared between Renee's eyebrows, which made her look even more severe. I got the sense she was probably not a woman to be crossed. I only hope she didn't give me a reason to need to cross her.
Then perhaps I should explain from the beginning. We'd appreciate it,
Carmen said, and the pitch of her voice jumped up in the way it always did when she was nervous.
Has Kyla explained to you what seers are, then?
Renee asked, and we both nodded.
Good. So when I tell you this order, the Order of the Eye, is composed almost entirely of seers, you know what I mean.
Yeah, we do, but we don't know what this order actually, does.
It's in our words by the entrance,
Renee told me, and she gave a smile that might have been kind,
if not for the fact it looked a little too much like the smile a hard teacher would give a particularly boisterous pupil.
We are the wall and the shield. Between humanity and the threats of the magical world.
What, like Men in Black?
That's not an entirely wrong comparison, but it's not entirely correct either. Our members are highly trained warriors who have, for whatever reason, chosen to dedicate their lives to protecting humanity from magical dangers. We call ourselves Oz.
Eyes. The guy in the alley had snapped the words eyes everywhere. But now I realized he hadn't been talking about witnesses. He'd been talking about these monster-hunting soldiers. So these eyes. You're all seers. You can see auras.
We can.
Renee confirmed with a nod.
Though I admit I'm concerned you two don't know any of this. Few seers choose to become eyes, but they all still know of the magical world. The second sight is genetic.
Here she paused and considered us for a long moment.
What did your parents tell you about magic growing up?
Well, we were orphaned when we were 8. I told her, and I shifted in my seat a little uncomfortably. But I don't really remember our birth parents telling us anything more than, like fairy tales. I looked up at Renee to see her eyes had gone wide, and she lowered her steepled hands to rest them on the desk with her lips pursed.
Rivera. We thought the children had perished, too.
Whoa, wait, you know us? I asked as I stared at her. You know our family? Our parents?
Did you know our grandmother, Isabella Rivera, the one who did that painting in the hallway?
At that, Renee looked back up at us with that severe eyebrow raised again, and she cocked her head.
Just how old do you think I am?
She asked Carmen, and my sister withered in her seat a little in embarrassment.
I knew her son, your father, though I didn't know him well. The Rivera lineage is one of the oldest and most powerful seer bloodlines still alive today. Almost as old and revered as the Beckett line.
We have a lineage? I breathed, and my mind suddenly raced with the possibilities that could hold. Are there other Riveras in this place?
Sanctuary. No, I'm afraid there aren't. We'd thought the magic in the Rivera family had completely died out when we heard your parents perished. We believed you two had died also. And we hadn't yet been told if you were seers anyway.
She paused again before continuing.
You have my condolences. Growing up without parents to tell you what you were seeing must have been, difficult.
I thought of the first few months after the fire, when Carmen and I had asked our foster parents and foster siblings over and over what the strange silvery lines were, and why no one else ever seemed to pay him any attention. I thought of how Maria had finally snapped at us to stop pestering her about our silly little made-up games when she was busy. I thought of how the kids at our new school had called us weird and crazy, to the point that the school counselors got involved. Yeah, it was. I said, at last, and I could feel my mouth tighten at the memories.
I suppose when you were placed with non-seers as your guardians, you would have learned to hide your abilities to avoid scrutiny.
Renee asked, and Carmen and I both nodded.
Well, between your trying to pass as normal and losing your parents, it makes sense you two would have slipped through the cracks. All the same, I'm sorry it happened to you.
So, what's supposed to happen now? I asked her as I tried to keep the anger from my voice. Because I was angry. For all the intrigue and wonder that could come from discovering magic was real, this still all boiled down to the fact that Carmen and I had been robbed of our identities in some way. We had been forgotten by people who would now claim to be part of a community with us. It might not have been intentional, but they'd still abandoned us, forgotten us, and we'd been cheated out of our lives in that way. How many times had I needed to pretend I didn't see those lines? How many times had I forced myself to hold my tongue? How many times had I been terrified that Carmen or I would be institutionalized and separated and I would lose the last piece of family I had left in this world? How many times had I looked back at those years and asked myself if I'd been going genuinely crazy or if I'd just had a really overactive imagination?
I wanted to hurt something. I wanted to pick up one of those shining weapons I'd seen on the walls and go and hunt the monsters this order claimed to kill. To play catch-up on my own life, to take back what had been stolen from me and my sister by a freak stroke of bad luck. Would our parents have told us about this world? Oh, surely they would have. But did it even matter? They'd both died. They'd both been dead for 17 years. Nothing was going to change that. All that was left was for me to keep pushing forward. This was my step back. My single permitted step back to allow myself to get my head on straight and acclimatize and figure out where to go from here. So, now, I needed to move forward again. I looked up at Renee and repeated my question. What happens now? Renee spread her hands as if in apology. I knew it wasn't her fault any of this had happened, but it didn't change how mad I was. And I wanted to take it out on a physical target, not just the concept of shitty luck.
That depends on what you two want to do. You're seers. You're owed a place in this world, but I can promise you whether you choose to continue your lives as normal humans or to join the magical world entirely, that is your choice. However, whether you would be allowed to join our order is not for me to decide.
I looked over at Carmen, who had been almost completely silent this entire time. It wasn't like her to be so quiet, but after what we'd just learned, I didn't blame her. After a moment, she raised her head to meet my eyes, and I thought again of all those times when we, as children, had tried to unlock secret psychic powers. For a time, we'd thought those lines might be related to it in some way. Like if we could just see lines connecting the pair of us, we'd be able to use them to speak, like two cans connected by string. We couldn't actually read one another's minds. But that didn't mean I couldn't tell what my sister was thinking right now. She, too, wanted the base and petty thrill of making something pay. She wanted the catharsis that came with feeling like, if only for a moment, we were in control of our lives and our destinies. I realized now I'd spent my whole life being pushed around by other forces. I'd just kept reacting to what happened to me. Even in my adult life, I'd signed up to join the army, to take orders and fall in line and be obedient. And where had all that gotten me? Literally back in the same place I'd started. Just me and Carmen in L.A. Us against the world. Eyes are soldiers, you said? I asked Renee, and she nodded. I made a pretty good soldier. I'm good in a fight. Carmen, too. And being a monster hunter sounds a lot more interesting than any jobs we could get in the human world. Because really, what was waiting for us there? A crappy apartment and the soul-destroying process of hunting for jobs and companies that would sooner screw us over 6 ways to Sunday than concede to pay a decent living wage?
You want to become eyes?
Renee asked me, and her eyes widened a little. I nodded, and in my peripheral vision I saw Carmen nodding too. Renee leaned back in her seat and appraised us both for a long moment.
You're untrained and uneducated about the magical world, but you're both clearly keen to learn, and I've never been in the business of turning away those who want to help. So you'll let us?
Carmen asked, and Renee's mouth twisted.
It's not my decision. Well, not my decision alone. There are several sanctuaries across the world, each with their own guardians. We form the council, and the decision would be put to a vote. But I could certainly raise the suggestion with him. Kyla!
The moment she called Kyla's name, the doors opened again to reveal Kyla. She must have been standing there the entire time, because I swore she hadn't moved a single inch, and her green eyes locked with mine for a bare moment before she looked at Renee.
Yes? See that these two are given rooms for the night. It's late enough as it is, and we have the space.
Renee instructed, as she gestured to Carmen and I, and then addressed me directly.
The council is due to meet about a pressing issue later tonight. I'll bring up the matter of you two wanting to join our order then.
I wondered for a moment why there was a meeting scheduled for what was presumably close to 11 p.m., but then I remembered Renee had mentioned there were sanctuaries all over the world. When'll you have an answer?
With any luck, by the end of that meeting.
She replied and rose from her seat. Carmen and I stood at the same time, like we couldn't get out of this room fast enough, and Carmen marched toward where Kyla was standing by the door. I hovered for a moment, caught between following my sister and the hundreds of other questions that still hammered inside my head. But we were clearly being dismissed, and I would have preferred Kyla to answer those questions than Renee, so I nodded my head in what could generously be considered a bow. Thank you, I said, but Renee shook her head.
Please don't thank me, dear boy. This is simply my attempt at correcting a mistake the Order made 17 years ago.
The thud of the doors as they closed behind us seemed to punctuate a sentence, and the echo reverberated around the vaulted ceilings of the hallway. For a long moment, Carmen and I just looked at each other.
Mom and Dad. They were like us.
I nodded, and for a moment the words were lodged in my throat, and I couldn't force them out. We're not crazy. We were never crazy.